welcome to the ParaUnity Podcast. Tonight, we have a special treat for all of our listeners. On this, our first bonus episode, we're going to take a look at one of the most notably haunted places in the state of Iowa. Featured on the Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures and in several paranormal publications, you'll want to make sure you don't miss out on the opportunity to hear the stories of its darkened hallways. Even the very experienced crew of Ghost Adventures decided to end their investigation after a chilling encounter here. The history alone about the property is enough to draw any paranormal fan in. The land was a poor farm, giving the incurably insane, disabled, poor, and elderly food and a place to live in exchange for labor. The occupants farmed agriculture and livestock, and the poor farm was in operation from 1850 to 1910. And during that time, there was over 80 documented deaths. In 1910, the poor farm closed down and was demolished. By 1911, a new building was constructed on the property to house the poor, the elderly, and the incurably insane, and was in operation until November of 2010. Upon its closing, residents left many of their belongings inside the building, where they still remain, as if they were all expecting to return. Beds are still made, furniture is still in place, and personal belongings still sit in their rooms. There are even patient files and medical documents left out. What really makes visiting this place terrifying is the many experiences of visitors. People report steel doors slamming shut, voices and singing, whistling, and even plates flying across the room. And if all that sounds pretty intense, then hold back your excitement, because this abandoned property is not just home to wandering restless spirits. There's also a very shadowy spirit there that is known as the Joker or the Prankster, that has been known to playfully choke or scratch visitors of doubt. Let's welcome back to our show Curtis Miller, who not only has spent the night alone here, investigated it countless times, but is also the curator and tour guide of Edinburgh Manor. Welcome back to the show, Curtis. How are you tonight?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thanks for coming back on the show. I'm glad I didn't scare you away the first time.
Oh, no.
So tonight I wanted to talk specifically about Edinburgh Manor. I know you're kind of the curator and tour guide, kind of the guy that oversees a lot of that besides the owners. How long have you been working directly there?
Actually, as a tour guide, probably for maybe a couple of years or so. It's been very interesting. Every time I go in, it's usually something new and interesting that actually does happen.
Oh, yeah, I've heard stories upon stories of this place. Now, you've been a tour guide, you said, for a couple years, but you've been investigating it for quite a while before that, correct?
Yes.
So, and then what actually got you started into becoming the tour guide there? I mean, it's not like you can go online and just fill out an application or anything like that.
The owners, being there so many times and investigating, we actually became friends, and one of their tour guides happened to be leaving, and they're like, hey, you kind of know the entire history of the place, would you mind helping us out, giving some tours from time to time? Then all of a sudden it just led into, hey, how would you like to do this, a lot more, and helping us out quite a bit more, giving tours, letting in overnights and everything. And I said, sure, absolutely, not a problem. I actually love the building. It's actually a very beautiful building.
What do you know about the history of the building itself?
The history of the building. Basically, the entire property is from the 1850s. It actually did have a whole bunch of small little farm ranches on the property. It was basically used as a poor farm, which back in the day, if you could no longer afford to stay on your land, you would be forced to live in these real small homes, which multiple families could actually live in. And you were forced to work the farm for the county and also for yourself for food and everything. Well, back in 1910, the county decided, well, this is not really working out too well. We also need, homes or and actually room for the mentally handicapped, the disabled, all that. So we're just going to tear all this down and build a giant, you know, building like they have now, which Edinburgh Manor is basically kind of like a cookie cutter type of a building. In 1911, they got it all constructed, so they basically still used it as a poor farm. They actually did have farmland there, which they had hogs and chicken and cattle and everything. You know, they raised all their meat. They had their own eggs, all that good stuff. Actually had their own gardens and everything. But then they end up adding, you know, some homeless in there. They also added mentally incurable, which was if you had ADHD, autism, depression, any type of thing, you'd be put in there. Then it started to get into a little bit, not a whole lot. If the jail happened to be full and you happened to get caught for stealing, let's say, something small like a loaf of bread, the jail's full, they can't put you in there. They would send you off to a poor farm to actually perform what we now call community service.
Yeah, and that was just for the criminals that had the very minor offenses.
Yep.
It's not like they're putting like murderers or anything in there.
No. No, and if you happen to escape the poor farm, you know, and a lot of them, they're actually put specifically in the middle of nowhere, basically. You know, so if you did escape, you're not going to go very far. And if you did escape, they weren't going to look for you very hard. You know, they just waited for you to show up to the next town and commit something there, and, you know, then they end up bringing you back, you know.
Yeah, and this place is, just like you said, out in the middle of nowhere. Yep. People may not be totally familiar with locations in Iowa, being since, you know, we are kind of a smaller farm state. But, yep. You know, bigger cities like Cedar Rapids, you know, that's 45 or so minutes away. Dubuque is about a half hour. Davenport's, what, about 45, maybe a little bit more away?
Yep.
So it really is out in the middle of nowhere. You have a couple little small farm towns around it, like Amber, Iowa, or Scotch Grove, Iowa, but that's, or Monticello even, but that's really about it.
Mm-hmm. And the sad part is a lot of these poor farms, actually, like Edinburgh Manor, were torn down after a while. A lot of them, they were not adequate enough for, you know, are disabled now, which actually has wheelchairs in that. And that's part of the reason why Edinburgh Manor closed down. It wasn't handicap really accessible, you know. Back in the day, they didn't think about that, you know. So they just didn't build a building like that.
Yeah. Well, and back then, a lot of those times, if they had that kind of, if they were that handicapped or impaired, they weren't that worried. You just kind of spent the time in your bed anyways.
Yep.
So, all right, well, that's a good history on this place. And I mean, like I said, the history of it alone is enough to get someone's attention. But beyond it just having this deep history of everything that's happened there, it's also very haunted and very active.
Yes.
What's some of the reports that come out of there?
A lot of the reports, you know, people who do watch the Ghost Adventures episode, you know, us as tour guides and as owners of the place, we kind of have a little bit of a love-hate relationship with that. We love that they did the episode there. The one part that we hate is they make it seem so deep, dark, and evil, and it really wasn't, you know. Yes, there was bad things that happened there, but a lot of the things that do happen there, and I hear quite frequently, is disembodied footsteps. I've had doors close in front of my face. I've been scratched, but a lot of scratches are basically what I call, you know, trying to grab your attention. You know, nothing's like a super long, deep scratch. It's more or less like somebody's just taking their finger and just poking it into you, and their fingernail just happened to scratch you.
Yeah, and they actually had that on the show right at the beginning, because I just rewatched that episode here the other day to kind of freshen my mind up of the place. They had a young gal that went in there that had been in there before, and when she came out, mm-hmm. she had a small little scratch on her neck. And yeah, it didn't look like anything was trying to hurt her. It looked more like it was trying to get her attention.
Yep. And that's what we get a lot of times. You know, I've seen somebody, you know, get their hair flicked in front of them. You know, one of the things that I've actually had happen to me is I've actually had somebody whisper right directly into my ear. You know, so it's not a deep, dark place, but I mean, it's, you know, you do go into rooms that you will feel different things. You know, you will feel a little bit happier in one room, and the next room you go into, it's kind of a depressing, heavy type of a feeling.
Well, yeah, especially with it having been the poor farm, you know, these people are going to be very emotional because, you know, they lost their property and, you know, this they lost their property and they had nowhere else to go. So this is where they ended up.
Yep.
So, and I know we've talked quite a few times now, and you talk about how you've been there enough, you can actually feel which one of the entities or spirits is actually around you at a given time. So you've really got a chance to build that relationship or that rapport with them. Who are some of the spirits that are in there?
Some of the spirits that are in there, some of the more active ones, that actually kind of do tend to follow me around a little bit. There is a young girl there. Her name is Susie. Susie's about the age, 10 years old or so. She was dropped off by her family. We don't know why she was dropped off by her family. But she tends to roam around on the main floor. I've actually heard her hum before. She's actually tugged on my shirt. A lot of females, especially if they have children, they'll get the feel of, you know, having their hand held. There's another lady there who does tend to follow me around. Her name's Veronica. She's in her mid-30s. Don't know a whole lot about her. We're still trying to figure out her entire story. I've actually, one of the most strange things is she'll hang around a certain area. I come up there, and I literally feel like her wrapping around me, like giving me a hug or whatever it is, which is very strange and intimate. And it's not a negative. It's kind of a warm type of feeling of, you know, oh, I'm glad you're back, you know, how are you type of a feeling. And then, unfortunately, we do have Paul, who's very active. He will follow people all over the place. Unfortunately, Paul actually hung himself in the manor. And at one point in time, he could have left at any point. He was brought there by his brothers after his parents had passed away. And instead of walking out the door, he actually decides to hang himself. So, and there are a lot more other spirits in there that they kind of come and go and talk to you, you know. But those are the ones that pretty much follow me around a lot.
Sure. And speaking a little bit about the Ghost Adventures episode a little bit more, one of the mm-hmm. main entities that they talked about on there was the Joker. And, you know, we're not talking about the bad guy from Batman by any means, mm-hmm. but with the debate about is stuff on TV real or is it not, you guys actually can say, yes, the Joker is real.
Yeah. We pretty much think that's a Ghost Adventures, deal. The name of it, we kind of call him the prankster, or, you know, the angry man in the basement at times. I have personally seen him on a tour. I was giving, literally take a female who was a full-blown skeptic. She had longer hair and get her hair flicked right in front of her face, and she almost literally bolted. I've seen him as I'm walking down the hallway from the laundry room area all the way towards the dining area, a very tall 6 foot shadow man or a figure look at me and just turn and walk towards the padded room area. So yeah, he is real. He's one of those that if you do tend to scare easy or you're a skeptic, he will try to single you out a little bit and kind of mess with you just a little bit. Nothing dangerous or harmful, but to say, yeah, I'm here. This is real.
Well, given his name, that works pretty well then. So what would you say has been the most eye-opening experience you've had there? Like, what really made you kind of step back for a second and just go, wow?
What actually made me step back was actually, there's a couple of them. One was on a tour. I was helping out the owners with the person who was in a wheelchair. We were upstairs. Everybody was in room 200, and they were given the stuff that happened in room 200. I was standing outside.
Sorry to interrupt you real quick. What was the stuff that happened in room 200, just so people know?
Room 200 is actually what put the Edinburgh Manor on the map for paranormal activity. One of the owners happened to stay there, and he actually spent the night, and they had a black lab who instantly started freaking out, barking and growling at the door, and he looks up, and there's nothing at the door. He's locked in the entire building. His entire, you know, everything's cleared. You know, he had the sheriff's department cleared and everything. He decides to fall asleep, and he kind of felt something grab him, but he just didn't, just kind of blew it off because he was a full-blown skeptic at the time. And his nephews happened to catch a hold that, you know, hey, you own this place, can we check it out? And they asked him, you know, what did you do to my uncle? And they got on a recording, I grabbed his toe.
Huh.
And somewhere on YouTube, I'm not sure where, but that's EVPs floating around. But anyway, everybody was in there. It's kind of a small room. So I'm standing outside. And during the night, if anybody's actually ever been there, they actually have a men's ward and a women's ward. And at nighttime, they would actually, there's two steel doors, and they would actually lock the steel doors so the men and women could not, you know, go from one side to the other. It kind of controls them a little bit. One of the steel doors decided to shut all by itself on me. As everybody came out, I pulled the owner to the side, and I'm like, not to alarm you or anybody else, but that steel door just shut all by itself. So they're like, yeah, we're going to go the other way. One of the other things that really grabbed my attention was we got done giving a tour, and I had to wait for an overnight. And after a tour, we normally let all the people run around, do some investigations, do whatever they, you know, have their own little adventure. So I'm waiting in the office area for everybody to leave, and it was just really weird that everybody left like 10, 15 minutes after the tour. Normally, they're spending an hour plus around in there. So I'm sitting in the office after everybody left, just messing around my phone, and I hear heavy disembodied footsteps coming from the women's ward towards the office area. And the footsteps were moving with a purpose, and you could actually literally hear them with your own ears, but it sounded like they had the solid heel and toe shoes on, like a nurse or a doctor would wear. I look out the door, and there's nothing there. But you could literally hear the footsteps coming towards you.
So they came up to you and just stopped, or?
Yeah, I'm not sure what they end up doing, but it just instantly quit.
Hmm. Yeah, that definitely catch your attention for sure.
Yeah.
So, those are definitely some good, like, whoa type things. Have you had anything like any like real dark or ominous? Not to say in like demon wise, because I mean, not every place is going to have stuff like that. But you're going to have grumpy people. You're going to have angry people. Have you guys had any kind of like real kind of dark or intense type things happen?
I've had a few spots that I would go into, and you will get that feeling of, you know, where, and you've done investigations before, that flight or fight really kicks into you.
Yep.
You go into a location. Something like that, it does happen, and I just will back off from that building or that area there, just let them be for 20 minutes to a half an hour, and then I'll go back. I've had across the spirit box get out before, in a very kind of like a male deep voice. That's some of the things that probably the darkest I've actually ever had.
Okay, because I know, like we were saying before, the show kind of made it seem a lot more evil type stuff, but.
And stuff has been thrown, you know, and, you know, like I said, you know, these people had disorders, you know. You can go into any county home where they have people that have disorders, and you might have something that, you know, when they're sitting out at lunch, you know, a spoon or a plate or a cup might get knocked off or thrown where somebody's having a bad day. Well, they still have bad days there too. You know, they, it's just that time has no meaning to them, you know, so.
Sure. Now, so these are some great stories, and I'm sure investigators or just people interested in this alone are gonna, this is definitely gonna heighten their interest and are gonna wanna have a chance to check it out. What's the best way to get a hold of them if they're interested in touring the place?
The best way to get a hold of them, Edinburgh Manor does have a Wix website. And if you go onto their Wix website, or they even have a Facebook page, is to go ahead and have contact with the one of the owners or the representatives or one of the coordinators there, and to either book an overnight, which is $225 a night, and
that's
you're allowed up to.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry,
you're allowed up to five people at $225. After that, it's $45 more a person, or you can find out when they have tours, or you can book a private tour, and they're more than happy to do that. And that's some of the ways you can actually get in. They actually do have dates that are open for overnights. They usually tend to fill up fairly fast. So,
oh yeah, especially with all the activity.
Yeah. Right now, I believe every Friday and Saturday nights kind of filled up from now until almost November.
Okay. And you do recommend going when it's a little bit warmer, obviously.
Yes. Matter of fact, I want to say maybe a month and a half ago, I let in a group for it was just basically a private tour. It was three couples. And it was literally freezing in that building. I mean, they have literally no running water in the building. And no heat in the building. Back in the day, it was heated by fuel oil, and it cost them $1,000 a month in expenses for fuel oil. And that's back when fuel oil was, you know, well under a dollar, you know, to heat the place. So I couldn't imagine now what it would cost to heat the place.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, okay. Well, we have a few more minutes here. Is there any... couple more, one maybe two good stories that you want to tell us about the place?
Yeah, there is. We've actually had full-bodied apparitions in there. One of the ones, we had a lady who was a skeptic who was doing a tour. She went upstairs in the men's ward, and she went into one of the rooms, and she turned, and all of a sudden there's a male apparition just sitting on the bed, just staring out the window. She literally comes running downstairs and says, "I just seen a ghost." You know, we go upstairs and it's gone. But she described the entity as to a T, and we have yet to see it, but we also know where she was at is very active in activity.
Okay. Yeah, that would that would definitely get your attention if you walk in there and see somebody just sitting there staring out the window.
Yes. And we've had, I want to say, I can probably count on one hand, probably at least a half dozen since I've been a tour guide there of full-bodied apparitions, you know. So it is very active.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, this episode definitely didn't do anything to get me to want to go there any less. Definitely got me a lot more interested, more so than I already was. So, Curtis, I appreciate you taking the time again and telling us all about Edinburgh.
Thank you.
I highly, highly recommend for any groups out there, whether they're investigators, whether they're history buffs, or just people that want to experience something, to really take a chance to come down here and take a look at this place. We'll go ahead and we'll post a link up to their website. We'll also do it to their Facebook page. So that way, if anybody listening wants to see it, they can just go right down to the show notes. Curtis, like I said.
They want to look at even my team Facebook page. I actually do have photographs in there inside of Edinburgh Manor. So they're more than welcome to go onto my Facebook page and look at some of the photographs in there and read some of the reports that I actually have.
For your group, Unseen Entities, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yep, we'll put a link up to that as well so that we can check them out. Curtis, like I said, thank you for taking the time with us today. Hopefully we'll see you down there soon.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, have a good one, Curtis.
Yep, you too.
Bye-bye.
Right.
I want to take a second to tell you guys about, as I was reviewing and editing this episode, we got what we believe is an EVP on the recording. Unfortunately, we couldn't get it to clear up enough to be able to play it for you. But as we were talking about the different spirits here at Edinburgh, we had a small female voice come across, almost like a child, that said, "Tell them about me." I had to check with Curtis a little bit to make sure I wasn't losing my mind, but it just goes to show you exactly how interesting and how busy this place really is. So thanks again to Curtis Miller for being our guest tonight, and thanks to all of you for tuning in to our special bonus episode. Please take a minute to give us a review on iTunes or whatever directory you listen to us on. It means a lot to us, and we want to hear your feedback to help make our show a little better. My name is Brandon, and you've been listening to the best place to bring our paranormal teams a little closer together, the Parunity Podcast.